Just everyone, just lift up your hands, lift up your hands. Father, I pray for the anointing. I pray for your presence to fill this place. Let every person under the sound of my voice tonight, let them be saturated with the anointing. Let the anointing be piercing, be tangible upon their lives. I pray tonight for a face-to-face encounter. I pray for a friendship with God. I pray for the anointing to rest upon their lives. And let it be tangible. Let it be like a weight upon their lives. Let the anointing make a way as we go into 2018. Let them be known as people who are anointed. Let them be known as people who are dangerous. Let them be known as people who are under this anointing here at ECC. And they carry the holy, pure anointing oil from heaven. Like King David said, anoint my head with fresh oil. Anoint my head with fresh oil and not stale oil. Anoint our heads tonight with fresh oil, with a fresh anointing. I pray for the heavens to be opened even tonight. I pray that your anointing and that oil from heaven will begin to fall, will begin to fall upon your people, will begin to fall and drip from their head to their beards, to the shoulders, to their garments, and that the oil of heaven will be poured out upon them for favor in every area of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, church, give him a praise offering. Wherever you are, praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise him, praise him. Amen. Hey guys, ready for tonight? Say with me, fresh oil. You know, and I'm going to get into the anointing tonight. It's going to connect to the face of God. But the things that I want to share with you tonight, I believe that, I really believe firmly that God put in my spirit. I was not supposed to be here tonight. But I don't know, my spirit just had a desire to come. I don't know why. I phoned Martin this morning and I said to him, I really wanted to be here. And, you know, I had to minister out this morning and I ministered out. But I don't know, I really wanted to be here. And I can't explain it to you. You know, when you plant a church or so, it feels like you're married to the church. I know it doesn't feel like you like me too much, but that's how it feels from my side. And there's a deep calling unto deep. There's something that God wants to do, you know. Say with me the anointing. I want to share with you some things, and you know, things that some people don't understand. Some people don't understand processes. But what I'm going to get into is how to get the anointing on your life and what it produces. One of the things it produces is a face-to-face encounter with God. I'll show it with you out of scripture. Are you guys with me? So, say with you the anointing. I want to get to something. Listen. The anointing is, go for me, put on John 6 verse 28. John 6, 28. Then they said to him, what shall we do? They spoke to Jesus. They said, Jesus, what shall we do? And I'm not going to be long tonight. So I want to pray for some of you. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? What shall we do that we can work these works of God? They were speaking to Jesus about how he was operating in signs, wonders, and miracles. Are you guys with me? They asked him the question. They said, how can we also move in these things? How many of you know that Jesus said we shall do greater works than him? Okay, so they said to him, how shall we do and operate in these works of God? The answer to this question, say with me, is the anointing. It is the anointing, it's nothing else. The anointing is not, let me just say what the anointing is not before I get into what the anointing is. The anointing is not a natural ability. It is not professionalism. Are you guys with me? The anointing is not natural ability. It is not professionalism. It is not loud sound and nice lights. It is not a show and entertainment. That is not the anointing. It is not feelings and emotions. Are you guys with me? The anointing is holy, pure anointing oil that comes on you. Whether we lay hands on you, whether it is in a worship service, but you feel God on you. It's a heavenly oil that comes on you. The purpose for the anointing oil is to set us apart towards God. The priests in the Old Testament were anointed with oil, with holy, pure holy anointing oil, which we'll get into right now. And the purpose of that was to set them apart and to consecrate them for God's works. Only problem is we're getting into the church and we experience the anointing, but we do light of it. And say with me again, say with me, fresh oil. The anointing, listen to me, the anointing is to separate us to a task, a special task for God. When you experience the anointing, even in this church, when the anointing comes upon you, it means God is separating and consecrating you. Are you guys with me? This is a big thing. Let me just read you. I want to read you three or four statements that we'll get into preaching just now. The anointing is a divine enablement of God's ability that has been imparted to our lives. It is a divine enablement. The anointing is a precious essential that causes a believer to move outside of their natural ability. Maybe you cannot preach good, but when the anointing comes on you, you can take a mic and people think you're one of the best preachers. It's the anointing. Are you guys with me? It's something, maybe when you touch business or you touch something with finances, they call it the Midas touch. Everything just changes. It just gets, it's because you are anointed for business. So are you guys with me? Some people are doctors, and you can have some people that have doctors as a vocation, others who are doctors as a calling. It's because if some are doctors as a calling, they are anointed for it. It's like if they do surgery, it just works well. It's an anointing that causes you to go beyond the natural. Are you guys with me? The anointing, on the other hand, in the church will also cause you to do the works of God. To do signs, wonders, and miracles, to lay hands, to cast out devils, and to do these things. Listen to me. Say the anointing. Say anointing. The anointing is a, and this is my definition, is a tangible, you can feel it, transferable. It can be passed from one person to another. Storable, meaning it can, the anointing can be stored in material. It's in the Bible. Are you guys with me? The Bible says that Paul took handkerchiefs. They took handkerchiefs, laid it on the body of Paul, and went and laid it on the sick, and the sick was healed, and the demons were cast out. The anointing can be stored in something. Imagine if a handkerchief can carry the power of God to heal a person, to cast out devils. And we who are made in the image and the likeness of God, how much more can you carry the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Who has the nature, the divine nature of God on the inside of you? How much more can you be a carrier of the divine anointing? Listen, have you seen? How does it happen? You know, the anointing comes through a variety of ways. And we have, I don't know if we have books, we might have books on it. But it comes in a variety of ways. You can receive the anointing through sitting under preaching where there's impartation. Are you guys with me? Just by preaching. The Bible says when Peter preached, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. And they were all baptized with the Holy Spirit, beginning to pray in other tongues. He was just preaching, Peter. We were in a school, and we have the photo of it. It's in our archives, where they said to us, we are not allowed to lay hands on the kids. We're not allowed to touch them or pray for them. But when we are not just allowed to preach. So I said to my team, okay, we're going to preach until the power falls. That is it. So we stood, and I remember standing on the edge of the stage like this, and all the kids were standing in front, and I was preaching. All of a sudden, it was like something erupted, and those kids began to fall under the power. It didn't touch them, but they began to pray in other tongues, and people were taking photos. As they took a photo, you see the glory of God falling like this on the kids in a school. Impartation, the anointing can come through preaching. Through anointed preaching, you can receive impartation. Number two, it can come through objects that are anointed that you can have or touch or something. Let's say somebody, we pray for something, we give it to you, an anointed object, come through that. It can come through listening to sermons, anointed sermons. Then it comes through prayer, fasting, mostly being separated unto God, spending time with Him. Are you guys with me? The Bible says there's a verse in Chronicles. I can't remember exactly where it is now, but it says, as long as, let me just look for it. I think Chris messaged it to me. Let me just read you this verse. Two Chronicles, just put it on for me, 2 Chronicles 26 verse 5. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 5. Listen to this. It says, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Now listen to this. And as long, say with me, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Because God is saying, listen here, the condition to this thing is this. You seek my face. As long as what he sought God, he set his heart to seek the face of God. King David says, you said, I must seek your face. My heart said, your face, Lord, I will seek. A person who seeks the face of God, God will cause them to prosper in every area. Listen, and I pray that tonight, that an anointing will come into this place that'll cause you to have a hunger, that'll cause you to have an encounter with the face of God. Say with me, the face of God. In his face, listen, you can have your seats. In his face, and we'll get into it later. The Bible says, in the light of the king's face. How many of you know he's the king? Then, in the light of the king's face, there is life, there is favor, and there is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. When we encounter the face of God, number one, we get life. Number two, we have favor, unusual favor. Number three, we receive the anointing and outpouring of the Holy Ghost. That's in the book of Proverbs. Are you guys with me? Listen, I want to get into, go for me to Exodus chapter number 30, verse number 22. Everyone, say with you the anointing. Exodus 30, verse 22. Exodus 30, verse 22, and we'll start now. If I can just have, like, you know, I was praying this afternoon, and I was thinking, if we can just have people here tonight that said, I'm hungry for the anointing. When I got saved, I was so hungry for the anointing. I had one tape of Benny Hinn, one VHS tape, and I would watch the thing over and over and over just to try to understand and just to try to, and I would ask myself for a year, I would ask, and I mean, Matthew was there, and people, I would ask, how does he have such an anointing where he can just wave his hands and people fall and this and that? And I never understood the key to the anointing. It took me years, but I was hungry. So they're hungry. I want you to be hungry. Listen to me. Christianity without the anointing is boring. I cannot help if another church misrepresented God to you. But here we represent him as a God of power, as a God of love and fire. Listen to me, a Christian who carries the anointing represents God. A Christian who carries the anointing, when the devil looks at him, the devil sees God. When somebody is anointed in the Spirit, it is pieces of God that we put on. When the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, your shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, and it goes to the whole armor of God. In the Greek, it speaks of pieces of God that we put on. Which means that when we put those pieces, we are literally looking like a God. Are you guys with me? Say with me, anointed. I want you to become anointed. Listen, I want you to receive the anointing. When the anointing comes on you, this thing isn't fake. Your eyes will be full of light. You'll feel like every weight is taken off your shoulder. You'll just be full of... You'll feel like you can take any battle on. It's the anointing. It's a divine, tangible presence. You can feel it. And it will come upon you. And there's ways to release the anointing. There's ways we had to start the church. There's something that many don't understand. It's called the rhythm of the supernatural. The rhythm of the anointing. There's a rhythm. When we lay hands on people, the reason I go to some and then start at one other place is because we call it a flow. That's how to release the anointing, a rhythm of the anointing. When we lay hands and I see this person receives, and I lay hands and I lay hands, and the people are receiving more, what it does, it's building up a crescendo. Just not too loud, the piano. It's building up a crescendo. And when there's sometimes you get to a person when you lay hands and they just like a stopstraat pole, go up, you know, like somebody would say, op 'n koue wintersnag, stopstraat pole, just standing. I mean, you lay hands, then they wouldn't know if the devil sits on this side or if God sits on this side. What happens is, when you lay hands on them, and that happens, we call it an anointing blocker. That's not from me. That's from one of our fathers of faith that all of you have studied, which is Kenneth Hagin. You'll say it's like you, and then the anointing literally stops, and you have to start all over again. That's why we have taught in our church, and we're bringing in a rhythm of the anointing. We're teaching people how to receive. How to receive from God. How to have their spirits open. How to have their hearts open. You know, I'll rather preach to 200 people sitting here whose hearts and spirits are open than 4,000, which I had to in the past, which is dead. Cannot know nothing. Don't understand the presence of God. Never been taught anything on the anointing. No, man. Listen, these are things of heaven that we're discussing here. Are you guys with me? When the presence of God comes in, it's heaven's atmosphere that comes in. Can you guys hear me in the back? I know the rain can disrupt it. Listen, let me get into the anointing. Exodus chapter number 30, verse 22. Listen to this, and it won't be long. It says, moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, I want to give you and show you how to move and how to receive the anointing. There is a process. It says, also take for yourself quality spices. Say with the quality spices. There are five spices to the anointing, which is representative of five spices in our lives, carried to things. Things that God takes us through in order to receive the anointing. He says, number one, go and take 500 shekels of myrrh. Say with him, myrrh. Half as much sweet smelling cinnamon. Number two, say cinnamon. Then he goes on, he says 250 shekels of sweet smelling cane. Say with me, cane. Actually, there's another word which is calamus for it. Next verse. And he says, and 500 shekels of cassia. Say cassia. According to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. Number five, say olive oil. These are five ingredients that God, a specific recipe that God gave to Moses to say this in here. This is how you make pure, holy anointing oil. That when this oil touches the head of the priests, when this oil touches the temple, it'll be separated unto me. Are you guys with me? This is the anointing. This is representative of the Holy Ghost. When we as believers take these five spices and we apply it into our lives, we are positioning ourselves to be anointed. Are you guys with me? I promise you, listen. You are positioning yourself. The first spice, which he said, listen, go and take for yourself liquid myrrh. The word, the spice myrrh, M-Y-R-R-H, myrrh. Say with me, myrrh. It was a bitter spice, and it had a sweet smell in the same time. It was a bitter spice, meaning this, unless we go through bitter moments in life, the anointing cannot be developed. Hey guys, do so the bitter moments. Listen, myrrh represents bitter moments, persecutions, not only persecutions, trials, tribulations, areas where we mess up, areas where life hits us. When we respond well to that, the anointing is being developed in our lives, and we're beginning to release a sweet smell. Myrrh, we need bitter moments for the anointing to be developed. There are seasons where it'll feel like God is so far away. There are seasons where it'll feel everything goes wrong. It is the anointing that is being developed. You might not know it. Are you guys with me? I promise you, if you go through it, you realize, I thank God I went through all these things. Second thing he says, listen, go and get cinnamon. Say with me, cinnamon. Cinnamon is what we call it's a fiery spice. It's a spice that was very sweet. It brings in passion. Cinnamon speaks of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Cinnamon speaks of somebody that is passionate about Christ. It speaks about somebody that has the fire of the Holy Ghost upon their lives. It is a fiery spice. It is spicy. Are you guys with me? He says, listen, for the anointing to be developed, you need myrrh, bitter moments in your life. Number two, you need cinnamon. Number three, he says, you need cassia. Say with me, cassia. Cassia was a plant that was bent over low. And the plant is like, if you look at the picture of it, it would be bent over. And that represents, and what that plant would do, it would release a very strong odor. What that plant would do is it represents in our lives something of humility and worship. A believer who can get on their knees and bend before God, bow before Him, begin to worship Him, and it speaks of humility, and that releases a smell. Say with me, a smell. Listen, I was preaching this morning kind of like on the same subject, another church, and I said I preached a message here a while back called The Smell of God. Are you guys with me? Jacob and Esau both came to Isaac to receive a blessing. The Bible says that Jacob stole the blessing from Esau, which means that impartation and a blessing can be stolen. That Esau was not being quick. He was lazy and he was a little bit lackadaisical. And he missed the blessing that his father had for him. And Jacob was quick. And the Bible says he stole the blessing. Are you guys with me? Say with me, stolen. Impartation. There are certain attitudes that God loves. It's people that don't give up. Jacob was somebody that did not give up. From his mother's womb, he already grabbed a hold of his brother's heel to stop his brother from going out of the womb and for him to go out first. How possessed must you be as a fetus to grab a hold of the other fetus to stop them from going out? This man was desperate for the firstborn blessing. Are you guys with me? And then, but what happened is he cocked up this meal for his father, and he did it faster than his brother. But his father said one thing. He said, when he touched him, he said, I don't know if this is my son Esau. Let me touch him. And he said, he says, it feels like you. And then it says these words. It says this, ah, the smell of my son, the smell of the field. Now I will bless you. Because he carried the smell, a certain smell on him. The prostitute with the alabaster box that came to Jesus. Listen, she walked into the room. She was known as a prostitute. She was full of sin. And she realized that she would be known, she would be seen as a prostitute. But if there can be something that can override that title of hers, that can cover the title of hers, it would be to take her alabaster box, a perfume, and break it over Jesus' feet, that the whole room fills up with a perfume, hides away the fact that she's a prostitute. And God would say, because of the smell, because of this act that she has done, she'll be remembered forever. Her story will be preached wherever the gospel is preached. This woman will be mentioned. Why? Because she created a smell that went to God. Are you guys with me? The aroma of Christ, the smell of Christ. When we have this spice in our lives, cassia, we bent over. It's humility, it's worship. We release a smell to heaven. We release a smell to God that attracts heaven's attention. Are you guys with me? The fourth one is, and I won't be long, the fourth one is this, listen. Is calamus, which was also says a cane. It was a long piece of plant, very long like a cane, but it stood straight up and it speaks of submission to authority. When believers know how to submit to authority, it's one of the areas that will cause the anointing to be developed. But the one that I want to get to is this. Say with me, olive oil. He says the fifth ingredient that I want you to go get is olive oil. When you go get olive oil, listen, how olives was harvested in that time was in the following manner. They would go with sticks. It was a custom thing. I don't know why, but they would beat the trees at the bottom until the olives would begin to fall off. Are you guys with me? Which means that the anointing is developed in our lives when we go through beatings. It feels like beatings. And then what they would do, they would beat the tree. And then they would shake the tree until the olives would fall to the ground. When the olives would fall to the ground, listen, some olives can look up and see other olives still at the tree. And it can look sometimes to you that some people are promoted higher than you. But you just don't know you are further than them in the process because you have fallen down to the floor. From there, they take the olives. They put it in a thing to crush it. But it was called, it's a very powerful word in the Greek. It's called Gethsemane, which is the same as the hill, as the Garden of Gethsemane. Sorry, where Jesus was praying and he was sweating. He was sweating drops of blood, and that thing that they crushed the olives with would be called a Gethsemane, which means that the same crushing that Christ went through in the Garden of Gethsemane, when his own will had to be broken. Are you guys with me? He said these words. He says, Lord, take this cup, pass it from me. I don't want to go to the cross. But if it is your will, then not my will, but your will be done. He came to a place where his will was broken, where he killed and he died to his own will and his own desires. The anointing, before the anointing comes, the development of the anointing, God will take you to a place where you die to your own will, where you break your own will, and that is the place where the oil will begin to flow. Are you guys with me? In that thing, then what would happen with the olives, as they crush it, they would also remove the hard shells around it. That is where God removes hardness of heart out of our lives, where he removes walls of defenses out of our lives. He removes those things, and then it says that the oil would begin to flow. This is a process. Are you guys understanding? I feel like I'm talking to a wall. Are you guys with me? It's a process to be anointed. It's a process to receive the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Listen. And then, of course, the olives are crushed, and we know that it has been used for. I want to take you to another scripture. Let's go to Job 29. I want to show you what happens when the anointing comes upon us. I call it the anointed life. The results. Say with me the results of the anointing. Let us put me on Job 29 verse. Go for me from verse 2 out of the Amplified. Say with me the anointing. Just close your eyes and raise your hands wherever you are. Just surrender to him. Just surrender to him. If you find it difficult to surrender, I can understand. Most won't. Most will be able to surrender. Father, let this anointing fall in this place. Let the results of this anointing come upon your people, everyone here tonight. Let the atmosphere be thick upon them. Let the atmosphere be weighty upon their lives. Let the anointing begin to take them in the process of development, of being developed under this anointing, where they can be a true representative of God, a representative of heaven, where everybody will look at them and know this person carries the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them. Let them carry myrrh. Let them carry cassia. Let them carry calamus. Let them carry olive oil. Let them carry cinnamon. Let them carry the five spices of holy, pure, holy anointing oil upon their lives. Let them be a sweet smelling aroma when it comes before the throne room of God. Let the face of the King shine upon their lives. Even this night, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll come and enter anytime during the service. That your weight, that your presence, that your anointing will fall upon your people. That they will know that tonight they are anointed. That tonight the approval of God is upon their lives. In Jesus' name. Listen. Job 29 verse 2. Say with me the results of the anointing. Listen. That's why I want you to receive this tonight. And why do I get you to raise hands? It's to get you into a moment of surrender. Is it okay? You know, some churches, in this church, believers, let me say believers in general, they would worship and they would stand like this and look around and be self-conscious, and they are unable to connect to God. There's a place, a silent place, where we silence our spirit and we are able to connect to Him. It is in that place where the Bible says that He pours out streams of rock, where the rock pours out oil, more anointing on us. Listen, let me show you. I'm going to kind of close with this. Job was going through hell, but he was thinking back. He was remembering days when he used to be anointed. Are you guys with me? And he's speaking of the results that he had, how he lived, how he walked in that anointing. He was thinking back. And I thought, God, let us not think back of moves of God, but let us create. Whenever, even as we go into 2018, the Bible says you have heard in the book of Job by the hearing of the ear, but now your eyes will see. There's a move of God that needs to come back into the church where people can move in the anointing. Are you guys with me? When I did itinerant ministry, I was invited to many churches. We did Pentecostal churches to churches that are very seeker sensitive and that doesn't make a move or allow of the Holy Spirit. And when we begin to preach in those churches, begin to lay hands, the pastors would get so upset just for the move of the Holy Ghost. May we have no part of that thing. It's an antichrist spirit. I'm going to say it again. John says, the book of John says, we are all waiting for the one antichrist. It's fine, but the Bible says there are many antichrist spirits in the church today. A person that is antichrist, the word Christ is Christos, which is where we get the word anointing from, the anointed one. They are anti the anointing, anti power, anti the Holy Ghost. There are believers, many believers in the church today that is anti the anointing. Are you guys with me? And I haven't started this thing yesterday. I've been with it for 14 years in the ministry, in the church. We planted the church a year ago. But I understand we've traveled. And listen to me. A church, may this be a church that embraces the move of the Holy Ghost. The anointing. The flow of the anointing. Nothing will ever be achieved for the kingdom without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if you're sitting here tonight and you need freedom, doesn't matter from what addiction, it doesn't matter from what pain, let this anointing tonight heal your heart. Listen, so Job was thinking back, oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me. So he says, when I was anointed, God used to watch over me all the time. Next verse. When his lamp shone above and upon my head, and by his light I walk through darkness. When you are in the anointing, even though you go through darkness, you'll be guided and know where to go, whether left or right. Next verse. Listen to this. As I was in the prime, in my youth, in the ripeness of my days, say with me, when the friendship, say it again, say friendship. When the friendship and counsel of God were over my tent. He says, I remember the days of old when I used to be anointed, when the friendship of God was in my house. God said to Moses, he said, listen, he spoke about Moses. He said to other prophets, he said, Moses is not like other prophets. I speak to Moses as a friend speaks to a friend, face to face. Job is saying, when the friendship of God was in my house, I used to see him face to face. I used to speak with him face to face. Are you guys with me? When you are anointed, when the anointing is upon your life, you will have an encounter with the face of God. Listen, next verse. When the Almighty was yet with me and my children were about me. Let's go on. When my steps were washed with butter. Say with me, butter. And the rock poured out for me streams of oil. The word butter actually represents the word of God. But if you go a little bit deeper, it speaks of the thickness of the anointing. In services, and I know there's been services here, where it will feel like a thickness or like a weight is upon the people. It speaks of the anointing. It's the glory of God that comes like a weight. We've had services where it's like people can't get up from the floor. Why? Because there's a weight upon them. There's a thickness that is upon their lives. And Job is saying, when I used to be anointed, when the anointing was on my life, I walked in this atmosphere of thickness all the time. And the rock poured out for me streams of oil, meaning that he just received the anointing. Next verse, I'm not going to go into that. When I went out to the gate of the city, listen to this. He said, I would just walk to the city. When I prepared my seat in the street, the broad place for the council of the city's gate. So he would walk into the street. In those days, he would sit on the side of the street. He says, this is what would happen. Next verse. The young men saw me and hid themselves. The aged and the elderly rose and stood up. Are you guys with me? I know you'll get it just now. He's saying, I was so anointed. When I would just walk into the city, children would be scared. The aged and the elderly would stand up to their feet in attention because they saw the hand of God upon my life. Next verse. Listen, listen to this, listen to this. The princes, kings, princes, the royalty refrained from talking. They stopped talking when I walked in and they placed their hands on their mouths. He said, when I walked into the city, princes and royalty would go like this. Because of shock, One person who carries the anointing. Listen, Queen Elizabeth said these words in history, it's documented that when, what is that guy's name? Let me just think. John who? John Wesley. No, it wasn't John Wesley, it was somebody else, but let's say it was John Wesley. There was a guy who brought a revival in Ireland. Who knows history revival here? No one? Huh? Yeah, but I don't need his name. Anyway, you can Google Ireland. I'll show you now. Listen, this was a man of God. When he would, I'm thinking now of his name. When he would place his feet on the United Kingdom, the Bible says, sorry? No, not Smith Wigglesworth. There was somebody else. I'll give you the name now. It says, but anyway, all of them were generals and it happened to many of them. It says that Queen Elizabeth would shake in her boots, that the fear of God would come upon her when he would just come into the country, because he was somebody that was anointed. It starts with like a, it's Robinson, something like that, like Robinson or something. You'll see it. That when an anointed person, that you can be so anointed that royalty will be shocked and stop from talking. That is when somebody carries the anointing. Are you guys with me? Listen. Where are we? From talking, go to the next verse while he looks for the name. The voices of the nobles. Listen to this. Nobility. The voices of the nobles were hushed and their tongues cleaved to the roof of their mouth. Have you ever had dry mouth when you had to do public speaking? Are you guys with me? Have you found it? It's one of the revivalists. John Knox, yes. John Knox. Okay, so it's not Robinson. John Knox. When John Knox would put his feet into the vicinity, just into the country of the Queen, she would shake in her boots. Are you guys with me? This is because of just somebody that is saying, I'm going to embrace the anointing. Listen, it goes on. The voices of the nobles were hushed. Their tongues cleaved to the roof of their mouths, meaning they got a dry mouth. When the anointing, which means that when Job would walk in, even people of nobility, they would get so nervous. A dry mouth is a sign of nervousness. Are you guys with me? They would get so exposed, so nervous, that they receive dry mouth just because of the anointing that is upon their lives. I've been with people like Benny Hinn, Mulder. We had, and these are great men of God. We had lunch, we had supper with them. I remember the one time we had lunch with Benny Hinn, and it was me and a friend of mine sitting next to one another, and he was sitting opposite us. It was the three of us by a table. You're sitting there, you feel like your tongue is stuck to your mouth, and you cannot talk because of the anointing. But Job said, I was so anointed. When I would walk in, they can't say one word. The princes stopped from talking. They even got dry mouths because of the anointing upon my life. And I am not ashamed. I want people to be raised up here to say, we know we are anointed. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let your mouth speak these things. Know that you are made in the image and the likeness of God, in the image and the functioning of God. Listen, he goes on, he says, for when the ear heard it, it called me happy and blessed. So he says, when they would just hear about me, they would say, that is a blessed man. He is of God. And when their eyes saw me, they just began to testify. Next verse. Because I delivered, now he says, all this happened also because I delivered the poor who cried, the fatherless and him who had none to help him. Next verse. The blessing of him who was about to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Next verse. I put on righteousness and it clothed me or clothed itself with me. My justice was like a robe and a turban or a diadem or crown. Next verse. I was eyes to the blind and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor and needy. The cause of him I did not know, I searched out. Next verse. I want to get to a certain, listen to this. He says, I was so anointed that and I broke the jaws or the big teeth of the unrighteous and plucked the prey out of its teeth. The Bible says that when King David was a little boy and a shepherd's boy, he watched over his father's sheep. And the lion came and the bear came to take the lamb. Are you guys with me? And David went off to the lion and took the lamb out of his mouth. Job is saying, I was so anointed that I would break the jaw. King David says, Lord, break the jaw of the wicked. The anointing will cause you to take the enemy down. Next verse. Then I said, I shall die in or beside my nest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. Next verse. My root is spread out and upon the waters. I want to get to the next one. Next verse. My glory and honor are fresh in me. New strength in her. Next verse. Listen to this. Now he's speaking of as he's walking into the city. He says, men, listen to me and waited and kept silence for my counsel. That when Job would walk in, people wouldn't speak. The place would just go silent to wait for him to speak. This is a sign of the anointing. Next verse. After I spoke, listen to this. After I spoke, they did not speak again. And my speech dropped upon them like a refreshing shower. He said, when I spoke, I had the last word. Nobody could contradict it. Nobody can correct me. Nobody had even a question. I spoke and I had the last say. Are you guys with me? And when I spoke, the anointing would fall on them like a refreshing flood, like a refreshing shower. Go through the next verse. And they waited for me. Listen to this. It says, and they waited for me as the rain. And they opened their mouths wide as for the spring rain. Listen, Job is explaining what he was seeing. He would say people would sit and look at him like this. That's what he was explaining. Their mouths open wide, waiting for him to speak. Because they knew the anointing was on him. Are you guys with me? Go to the next verse. I smiled on them when they had no confidence and their depression did not cast down the light of my countenance. I want to close with one verse. Let me just look for it here. Go for it to verse 29 verse 19. Listen, I want to give you a sign of the anointing. He says, my root is spread out and open to the waters. And say with me, the dew. He says, the dew lies all night upon my branch. What he was meaning there is, that phrase was used in the Old Testament as that the anointing, the favor, and the approval, and the presence, and the refreshness of God is upon his life. He says, the dew would lay all night upon my branch. The anointing is another name for the anointing in the Old Testament. What we call it was dew from heaven. Are you guys with me? King David says, the dew of Lebanon. When the anointing comes in, even into a service, it would rest upon people. It's like they can feel it on their shoulders. They can feel it on their head. It's like a dew from heaven. It's some would get goosebumps. Some would just feel the soft. It's the anointing, the presence of God that covers us. Are you guys with me? This is not only for a church service. This is for us to carry wherever we go. Job said, I carried this thing. Wherever I went, when I walked into the city, these were the results. The people were too scared. People stood in attention. They received dry mouths. Some of their mouths were open. The princes closed their mouths with their hand because of the anointing that was upon my life. It is time, if this happened in the Old Testament, that 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 says, if the old covenant had glory, how much more glory does the new covenant has? We who have the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us, how much more can we do? How much more can we walk in? How much more can we move in? Listen to me. Job is saying, I remembered the days I was anointed. And I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying to me, you shall not remember the days when you were anointed. But as you go into this year, it'll be an open heaven where the anointing is going to be a refreshing shower to every person in this place. Either it is on your finances, on your business, it is, say with me, refreshing. Say with me, refreshing. The Bible says, in the presence of God, in the presence of God, there's times of refreshing. In the fullness of His presence, there's times of refreshing. And this is the one thing I heard when I was for tonight. And we want to close and we want to pray for you, is this. That I just felt that there's people that need a refreshing of the anointing. If you're standing in front, you'll receive a freshness. If you're standing here in front, you will sense, you will know, you will feel the anointing upon your life like electricity right now. You will feel it. It's like Job said, I saw a spirit pass my face and the hairs of my neck stood up. My bones were shaking. May that anointing come upon you. An anointing to take over. An anointing to change cities, to change your neighborhood. An anointing to change your friends. An anointing to make money. An anointing to dominate the business area. An anointing that'll cause a freshness to come upon you.